From inside a hermetically sealed chamber in the belly of a great white shark swimming somewhere underneath the Pacific Ocean. Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation and around the world, you're listening to the Duncan Trussell Family Hour podcast, and I'm the host, Duncan Trussell, and today's guest is one of my favorite people ever. I'm so lucky that he agreed to chat with me. Today, we have George Norrie, host of Coast to Coast AM, one of the coolest radio shows on planet Earth, and possibly the entire universe, or the multiverse. For those of you who maybe aren't familiar with the joys of Coast to Coast AM, who have never experienced that amazing sense of happiness when you finally manage to tune in to Coast when you're on some long road trip and George Norrie's booming voice comes through the crackling AM radio station that you know you're only going to be picking up for a small window of time. Here is a typical clip from Coast to Coast.
Let's go to Marie in Camden, Tennessee. Welcome to the show. Hi, Marie.
Camden, Tennessee.
Hi,
George. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
I'm a first-time caller, and I want to tell you why the animals are being mutilated, and I also want to tell you what's going to happen to the human race.
All right. Let's get your take on both.
Okay. My take is I was abducted, and also the gray aliens have been into my life since I was 8 years old. All right. Here's why they're mutilating the animals. They showed me, they told me what they were doing and everything. They can't go to you, George, and say, can I have your sperm? They can't go to you, Linda, and say, can I have your egg? That's why we are being abducted, because you would say no. Also, here's
why are they doing it?
Okay, here's why they're doing it, honey. They're doing it because they have mastered it. They have really mastered it. Honest to God, they have. They took me from this planet to Mars, and they took me underground, and they showed me their base station where they have this lab, and they have they're 2 to 3 foot square glass cubicles, and each one of these cubicles has a fetus in it, and they're mutilating the animals. They're taking the protein from the animals, and inside these cubicles is this amber-like liquid. Okay, on top was a grade, and on the grade there was this bubbling, and this bubbling was like a cream, and I touched the bubbling, this liquid, and it was real tacky. And at the bottom of this cubicle is like a 2-inch hose that goes downward. Where it goes, I do not know. But anyway, there's rows and rows of these. So here's what they did. They went from a petri dish. Now they don't need the mama no more. They don't need her, because now they have mastered the master of all. They have figured out how to make a human being in this cubicle. So there were babies, little babies, born into these cubicles, and there was rows and rows of them. And they were mutilating these animals to take the protein. That's what they were doing. And I can tell you what's going to happen to the human race.
What's going to happen to us?
Okay. I'm trying to talk fast, George, and I'm nervous as hell. I'm going to tell you that right now because I'm a first-time caller. Okay, here's what's going to happen to the human race. And I don't mean to be alarming. I don't want to upset nobody, but here's what they told me.
Lay it out for us.
Okay. Here's what they told me, honey. They told me that bad things were going to happen to this planet. In fact, I saw it was like watching a movie. And all I could do, George, is stand there and let the tears run down my face and cry, because there was nothing I could do. And I saw people running, and I saw the twisted anger and fear and tragedy that was happening. I saw flooding, fires. I saw earthquakes. I saw all kinds of bad things happening.
Was there any specific event, Marie, that started all this?
What do you mean, started off?
Well, I mean, was there an asteroid strike that created all the problems?
No, George. It starts out where we're going to have, like, one thing just build up, one thing on top of another. You know, just constantly building up of different things. And then all of a sudden, bam, here's what's going to happen. Here's what they told me. They told me, and they showed me, George, they took me there. In a spaceship, they would come at night to get me and take me. There is a replica of Earth Okay, listen to me now. There is a replica of Earth.
All right, I'm giving you about 40 seconds left, okay?
Please, please, listen. On the outskirts of our universe is a replica of Earth. And what they're going to do, they're going to come by the thousands. They're going to take people off of this planet, take them to this replica of Earth. Earth is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be made anew. Then they're going to bring the people from the replica of Earth back to this Earth, and we will be happy and everything.
All right, Linda, your reaction to all of that.
Friends, what you're hearing there is the work of a profoundly skilled interviewer. Because there's so many times in that story where just a simple half laugh into the microphone at the wrong place, just a stammer, any attempt to apply logic to that what that woman is saying, or any kind of indication that you're not buying this woman's incredible story could shut her down and keep this little miniature mythology from emerging from this lady's reality tunnel out into the world. Is there some second artificial Earth that people are going to be taken to by aliens? Who knows? The likelihood is that that's not the case. But the whole point of Coast to Coast, and what to me is so tremendous about George Norrie's interview style, is that he doesn't try to put the clamp on these incredible fountains of entertainment. He lets them tell their story. And the other side is he doesn't let them tell it in a condescending way. He doesn't patronize them. He doesn't let them tell their story under the sense that he knows the truth or he doesn't believe them. There's a lot of empathy and compassion in the way he lets these people talk about the experiences that they've had. And the byproduct of that compassionate listening is some of the greatest radio existing today. It's amazing. You don't have to shut people down just because whatever reality they're experiencing doesn't harmonize with your understanding of how reality should work. You can just let people tell their story. That's beautiful in its own way. A person is part of the universe. A person is an extrusion, an expression, a manifestation of universal consciousness and experiences that they've had, and their articulation of those experiences are miracles in their own right. Whether or not these stories match consensus reality, are provable, are measurable, or something that if you brought to a scientist, the scientist would say was an accurate depiction of the current understandings that make up the body of science, it doesn't matter. What matters is the story itself, because in that story, you can see a keyhole into the psyche of the subjective consciousness of the person telling the story. And that subjective consciousness is the subjective consciousness of all humanity. It's one little piece in the incredible net, the net of the web of Indra, as it's called, the connection that we all share with not just members of our species, but with every single thing that exists in the universe. So to hear a sentient piece of the universe relating its own personal mythology and doing that under the magnifying glass of an empathetic person like George Norrie is lots of fun, really interesting, and who knows, sometimes, maybe sometimes, there's a fragment of the truth in what they're saying, or more than just a fragment of the truth in what they're saying. And when you're driving at night and you're listening to these conversations, sometimes you really feel as though you've put a stethoscope to the heart of some invisible dragon that lives in the world. I've gotten goosebumps from listening to Coast, driving through Texas at night, like really freaked out from listening to some of these interviews. Because here's the truth. There is stuff going on in this world that we cannot currently explain. And here's another truth. There are secrets out there There are things, we know that for sure. That's why there's the term, that's why Hillary Clinton just got in trouble for emailing top secret information on one of on her private servers. We do have something that is called top secret, confidential. The government does have troves and troves of information that they cannot release to the public. This is true. This is why we have organizations like WikiLeaks. This is why people like Edward Snowden and Chelsea Manning have become either incarcerated or fugitives, fugitives living in other parts of the world to escape the grasp of the powers that be. So even if you're somebody who doesn't believe in conspiracy theories, you have to be somebody who believes in secrets. And secrets are innately conspiratorial in the sense that a group of people has made the decision to not allow some information to make its way into their work, into their social network, into their relationships, and that's a conspiracy. So really, there's no way to not believe in conspiracy theories, because conspiracy is a day-to-day part of running a business. It's a day-to-day part in running a government, and sadly, it's often a part of being in a relationship. Actually, the word conspire is really interesting, because what it translates into is breathing in unison, to breathe in unison. And so the etymology of the word seems to point in the direction of a kind of organic harmonization of intention, which is in line with a lot of the ideas of how magic works, how a coven works. A coven is a group of people who use metaphysics, some magical system, to try to transform or change or manifest things into the world. That's a coven. Very similar to a corporation, in the sense that a corporation is a group of people who are not necessarily breathing in unison, but who have certainly adapted and adopted a life pattern that has as its number one goal whatever the particular goals of that corporation happen to be. So a conspiracy is just a group of people who've gotten together to secretly create some kind of change in the pattern of society, or to manifest something in society, and to do it without anyone knowing that they have done this thing. And you hear the people who are conspiracy theory skeptics, they'll often say, I just can't believe that anyone could be organized enough to do this thing or that thing without ever getting caught for it. And I think that's incredible. I think that that is an interesting way to look at human beings. Human beings are so smart. We're such a smart animal. We're capable of doing so many incredible things when we work together. I mean, just look around you. Look at the house that you're living in, or apartment that you're living in, or car that you're riding in, or plane that you're flying in, or train that you're in, or hot air balloon, or wherever you happen to be as you're listening to this podcast. And whatever the thing is that you're in, including the chair that you're sitting in, the floor that you're sitting on, unless you're out in nature, or whatever it may be, is the end result of a group of people attuning their attention in the direction of creating something in the universe. Humans are powerful. Your chair that you're sitting on is a combination of so many different things. If you're sitting in a leather chair, then you're sitting in the flesh of a domesticated animal that over the course of a period of time was taken care of and then killed by a group of people who then sold the flesh to another group of people who adhered the flesh to the structure of whatever chair that you happen to be sitting in. And every single component of that chair more than likely was sourced from some other place where it was created by other groups of people who all had the intention of creating this thing or that thing. To think that people are capable every single day of doing things like creating chairs, cars, iPads, iPods, phones, sunglasses. To think that people can create these wonderful things couldn't also, if they wanted to, create things without people knowing that they had created them? That to me seems like just a really small way to look at the potency of human beings. There's such a serious advantage in being secret. There's a serious advantage in having working on things without people knowing that you're working on them. This is one of the most important aspects of running a corporation. You can guarantee that right now at Apple, there is some ridiculous, incredibly awesome gadget or device or component in a device that is currently being developed in some top secret laboratory where every single person there has signed non-disclosure agreements, where every single person there is being constantly monitored to make sure they don't take secret pictures or leak that information. That's not a conspiracy. That's a corporation. And to think that very identical modality doesn't happen inside governments or inside secret groups or cobbles of people who are attempting to gain power over their fellow human beings is ridiculous. Of course it happens. It happens all the time. It's happening right now. You can be certain that somewhere in some part of this country, in some part of the world, there are groups of people who are secretly working together to create change in society that goes against the laws of the land. That's real. I don't think that makes you a paranoid, insane person. That must actually happen because it happens in more mundane places like corporations. I'm sure it happens at summer camps. I'm sure it happens everywhere. So I think conspiracy theories in general, though they might not always be correct, I think they are in form correct in the sense that we are part of a very advanced species of super monkeys who, if they can keep camouflaged and secret, have a very specific advantage over other members of their species who operate in the light. And that's why I really love shows like Coast to Coast, because they allow some of these theories to leak out into the world, and you get to decide whether they're real or not. But even if they're not real, there's something miraculous about them that is exciting and ultimately incredibly entertaining. So I'm so happy to have gotten to chat with George Norrie. Unfortunately, he only had 30 minutes, so forgive me if this interview seems a little rushed, but I wanted to cover a lot of ground with him. And I do feel a little weird putting this interview out because it's heavy, man. This is a heavy, you could say a dark interview. We get into some pretty deep waters and we get there really fast. And currently with all the stuff going on in the world, a part of me would rather be putting out some kind of Ram Dass style spiritual podcast to send some light out into such a dark terrain that we're currently moving through in the history of the United States. But on the other hand, I find it really interesting that during this interview, when I asked George Norrie what are the things we should be paying attention to, in a certain way, he kind of prognosticated what we're experiencing, what's going on right now with the assassination of those police officers in Dallas and the completely unlawful execution-style murder of the two men who were recently shot by police officers. He kind of predicted this in this interview that we did before any of this stuff actually started happening. Maybe not specifically talking about these events, but pointing towards a kind of MO that what he calls the elites seem to have in their approach to controlling and dominating the world. So it's a little, this is a spooky episode. If you don't want to get spooked out right now because you're already spooked out by the news, go back and listen to one of the Ram Dass interviews or an interview with Jack Kornfield or Roshi Joan Halifax. But if you're prepared to get the creeps, then strap in, friends, because this conversation with George Norrie, it's a classic goose bumper. We're going to jump right into it, but first, some quick business. Today's guest is the host of the nationally syndicated program, Coast to Coast AM. He's listened to by millions of people every single week, and Coast to Coast airs on more than 600 stations in North America. He's also got a great new novel coming out called Night Talk, and you can find out everything that you need to find out about him by going to coasttocoastam.com. Now, everyone, please send as much light, happiness, and love in the direction of today's esteemed guest, George Norrie. Thank you so much. You know, I got to tell you, one of my favorite things on earth is when I'm on a night drive somewhere and I pick up a station that has Coast to Coast and hear your voice. It is so cool. Some of my favorite driving memories are riding down the highway at night and listening to the incredible stories that your listeners tell and getting authentically creeped out.
And you know, Duncan, we're on 615 radio stations, so no matter where you drive at night, you're bound to find the program, and you're absolutely right. The callers make this show. It really drives the program from what they talk about, whether it's conspiracies, paranormal things, or just day-to-day things that happen in our life. The callers make Coast to Coast, and I'm really excited about talking to them. Open lines are very different on this program because I don't try to judge people or put them down. We have fun, make no mistake about that, but they get a chance to talk, and I think they feel very comfortable doing that.
Well, yeah, I think that's one of your talents as an interviewer, is that you're able to bring so much out of people that normally they're probably not going to talk about because they're constantly being judged or shut down by skeptics or people who are just afraid to hear whatever it is they have to say.
You have no idea how many people call the program, Duncan, and they're nervous. They're shaking on the other end of the line because of those very things. They don't know what the host is going to do to them. Then they start thinking, oh my God, millions of people are listening to me. So what I try to do is just make them feel at ease. And I tell them, I said, look, you're just talking to me. So, you know, let's just chat and, you know, tell me what's going on and what happened to you or what did you see. And then they calm down and then it turns out to be a pretty good conversation.
Well, we've got 30 minutes, so I just want to dive right into the heart of everything.
Sure.
I found this great quote in an interview you did for The Atlantic, and you said, I believe there are groups on this planet far above governments who control governments, who are so wealthy and so powerful that the game for them is control and manipulation, and they make presidents, and they make kings and queens, and they make leaders of nations. Who are they specifically? I'm not going to give the names. I never do on the air, but we all suspect who they may be. And those are the ones that you have to be careful of. Do you feel like you have to be careful because you are opening up a conduit for people who may have really had authentic experiences with true conspiracies? You're allowing these people to have a voice?
There are times, Duncan, that I look over my shoulder at the end of a broadcast, wherever I might be, wherever I'm going, because you just never know. That started that way for me 13 years ago when I started doing Coast to Coast. Now I've evolved to a point where, because we're so visible and so vocal and so big, they don't want to cast an eye to what I say and what I do. their theory, their philosophy now is, let's ignore him and he won't go away, but at least the people who listen to him, we can contain them in their own environment. If we do something to try to shut him up, then the world starts to know about it, so we better just let him do his thing. And I think that's what's happening right now.
You look at history, and I think right now things are like that. But, you know, one of the spookiest things anyone ever told me on a podcast was I went to this place, Singularity University in San Francisco. Have you ever been there?
No, I have not. Tell me about that.
You would love it. It's basically, it was started by Ray Kurzweil, and I can't remember the other fella's name, but it's a place where they try to understand what's going to happen when machine intelligence exceeds human intelligence and try to predict what direction the world's going to go in. And no one can predict it. That's why it's called a singularity. But this, they said that one concern is that because everything's being recorded, everything's being filmed, that we could be breaking laws right now that don't exist, but will exist in a few years. So people like you, I don't mean to seem like I'm trying to frighten you or anything, but people like you put yourself out there in a serious way. And maybe right now they're not so interested in taking people out who they feel are dangerous, but who's to say 5 years from now, 10 years from now, people with public voices like yourself aren't going to be in some kind of danger?
Well, that's true. That's always that possibility. But I'm not going to live my life that way, Duncan. I'm going to continue to try to get the truth out to people, no matter what it might be, and keep doing what I'm doing. And that's what I'm going to do. I mean, that's my mission. That's what I decided when I got into broadcasting when I was 19 years old, that I wanted to unravel these kinds of stories, whatever they may be, whether it's a John F. Kennedy assassination or whether, you know, the Roswell UFO crash. And that's what I'm doing. And I am not going to let anything get in the way of that. And, you know, with a little help from God and everything else, a little luck, I'm going to keep forging ahead.
When you say God, do you mean, are you a Christian?
I was raised a Catholic. I don't go to the Catholic Church much at all anymore, but I'm a believer in a divine creator, in a power that I cannot explain. I know for a fact that this wasn't a fluke. You, me, everything we have in this universe, and the multiverses, it's not a fluke, but I don't know what it is, honestly. I mean, I continue to look for those answers. That might be one of the reasons why I keep doing this program, because I'm searching for the answers of who are we, what are we, why are we here. I just know in my heart there's a bigger picture here. I just don't know what it is yet.
Well, this is with when you, and you're as deep into this stuff as maybe anyone that I'm aware of. At some point, it seems like this slippery slope must happen where truth becomes something really hard to hold on to. If you are at the point from all these thousands of conversations you've had with people, if you're at the point now where you believe that there is some vast conspiracy at work on this planet with the intention of controlling populations in subversive ways, what can you believe in? Where can you find any kind of place to stand in a world like that?
You have to find that within yourself. I mean, let's look at ISIS for an example. They are out there doing these dastardly things, yet they can control Iraqi and Libyan oil fields. They have bank accounts with hundreds of millions of dollars in it. Somebody is arming them to the T, and they're continuing to do what they do. Now, what is going on here? Why can't that be stopped? You would think governments would get together and realize where are the oil fields that they're pumping, who's coming, what tankers are picking up the oil,
yeah,
who's paying for it, what banks are they using, who's arming them and shut them all down?
Right.
That's not happening. They are allowed to do what they're doing. They're flourishing like an ongoing business. It makes no sense to me.
But why? So why? Why are they? What's the answer?
The answer, of course, is chaos. Governments and these groups that I've been talking about, that you've been talking about, exist only when things are chaotic. They do not exist in a peaceful world. So it is their best interest that these things continue to flourish, that there becomes and continues to be terrorism, that there's always murder and mayhem. They want an unpeaceful planet because that's how they survive. They want the population to come running to them and say, protect us. Do whatever you have to do to make this go away. Take away some of our rights. Do this, do that, but save us. And the more these things happen, Duncan, the more you have shootings in nightclubs and bombings in restaurants and things like that, there's going to come a time where people are going to just simply give up and say, do whatever you have to do to protect us. And that's when we become robots. That's when we become captured people.
Wow. That is such a sinister perspective. And how do you, if this is happening, you're talking about a kind of cold war between the people and some kind of invisible group. How do you find hope in a landscape like that?
It's not easy. It's not easy to find hope in a situation like that, except you have to forge ahead. You have to be able to keep going forward, fighting the good fight, and never giving up. Because I truly believe in the long run that the masses are going to win because they just can't control all of us. That's not to say it's going to be an easy task to get to where we want to go. But I think we're going to win in the long run. And I keep driving ahead because I care about people. I care about my family and my children and my grandchildren and my friends. And, you know, I've always told people that when I go, what I want to be read on my tombstone, my epitaph would be, he made a difference. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to continue to do it. And I'm going to continue to sound the alarm that there are groups out there that are trying to take advantage of all of us, and I'm not going to give up.
And this new book that you have coming out, Night Talk, is this an encoded message, kind of?
You're very shrewd, Mr. Duncan. You're very shrewd indeed. It's my first novel about a talk show host named Greg Noel, who is channeled to cover stories much like I do on Coast to Coast. Go figure. But it is intertwined. It is weaving around a situation where a hacker is murdered and the talk show host is on the run. And it's an amazing story, one that one day may become a TV show or a movie. I don't know. But it's basically my show with a certain message done in a very fictional way.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was, as I'm reading this, that's what I keep thinking. It's like, oh, this, he really, like, you know, in this quote you say, I'm not going to give the names. So there is something that you are not putting out into the world out of, apparently you want to protect yourself. And so it does seem like you've encoded that in this book. Here in some way, the guy, his nickname's the Nighthawk. That's your nickname. Is it?
That's
still
my nickname. That's what I had in St. Louis when I was doing my local show. I created that at night so people would have some kind of identifier. Of course, I want them always to know it's George Norrie. But when you think of the Nighthawk, it's easier. And that grew for me in St. Louis, by the way. In reality, that drove us up to a number one rated show. I always remember my general manager of the station years ago, Duncan, on the first night I said, you're listening to the Nighthawk. He sent me a memo It was in my box waiting for me the next morning. And I went and got it when I came into work. And it says, George, nobody's going to remember the word Nighthawk. What are you doing? And I looked at that and I went in and talked to him and I said, trust me, in 6 months, everybody will know this name. And so we use that in the book as well. Nighthawk with a Nighthawk.
Cool. Now, this I want to go through. I've written down some of the top conspiracy theories.
All right.
And very quickly, I just want to go through some of them. And on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being complete bullshit and 10 being probably true, can you just give me a number for each of these?
Sure. And some of them may have the same number.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Bigfoot.
On a 1 to 10, with 10 being the real deal, okay?
Yeah.
I would give Bigfoot or a creature about an 8.
Okay.
All right.
Sandy Hook being a false flag operation.
0.
Michelle Obama is a man.
0.
Michelle Obama is Bigfoot.
0.
The Illuminati.
10.
UFOs.
10.
Project Bluebeam, the upcoming UFO invasion that they keep talking about.
8.
And what about the emergence of some kind of Antichrist?
8.5.
Wow, that's spooky. Who is that, George?
We don't know. They say he's on the planet already. It's a very strange story. They say that there will be, according to Nostradamus, that there are and will be 3 Antichrists. And Napoleon was supposed to be 1. Hitler was the 2nd. And the 3rd is here now, and it's going to he's going to lead us into the apocalypse. Could be a she too. You never know.
Right? Yeah, could be a machine. Could be an artificial intelligence.
It could be anything. The sign of the beast, 666, where they talk about you must have this number in order to buy goods and things like that. That's uncanny because now they're talking about wanting to chip everybody. So instead of carrying credit cards around, you merely just wave your hand over the register and the reader, and you're ready to roll.
Well, I mean, that's essentially what Apple Pay is, I guess. I mean, our phones are our chips. We are chipped.
Yeah, we are chipped people.
They don't need to implant them. They just give us technology that has become a necessity to live.
I thought years ago the Social Security numbers that we all got in order to work, that was it. I'm still not sure about that, but I think there's something bigger afoot.
But so these people, whoever they may be, do you have any idea of their numbers? How many of them are there? How many?
There's not too many, Duncan. Not too many at all. And the reason why we don't name names on the air is because it's difficult to prove. And it's very easy for them to sue my network or me and simply say, look, you just libeled me. You just said that, I'm so-and-so and I do this. Prove it. It's very difficult to prove because they insulate themselves. They're shielded from a lot of this. But it's quite obvious when you hear stories of who goes to the Bilderberg meetings, who is part of the Council on Foreign Relations, who are the people who control the destiny of so many other people. And then you look at the kind of money they have. It's not too difficult to begin to realize that these folks are the puppet masters and we're the puppets. And there's probably, I would say, no more than a dozen of them out there with that kind of wealth, with that kind of power. But again, it leads back to why are they doing this? Because they are bored. They have nothing else to do. When you have billions of dollars, all the houses you need, anything you want, the next thing for you is the game. And the game is control. The game is manipulation. The game is to try to create wars, to end wars, to do things that just get you going. They excite you. And that's what they're doing right now.
You don't think that they have some their own religion?
Some of them might. You remember the movie Eyes Wide Shut by Stanley Kubrick?
Yes.
These folks would get together at these wealthy parties and do these bizarre things. I think that's very possible in many cases that they do things like that, creating their own religion or their own belief system. No doubt. These people want to live forever, Duncan. They want to have implanted chips. They want to clone their bodies and download their memory into the new body so they can live forever. They're obsessed with this.
Well, do you think that's bad, wanting to live forever?
Yeah, I think that there's something else afoot. I think there's the hereafter. That's what we were made for. We were made to evolve. And in the spirit world, I believe, is this important part of living. And to delay it beyond the inevitable is, I don't know, it may be sinful to be able to live that long. Who wants to be 1,000 years old when you've got a lifetime of eternity in heaven?
Well, okay, so one thing that I'm curious about what you think about this is, do these people, would you call them the Illuminati?
Yes, or the elitists or the globalists, whatever you want to give them as a phrase or nickname, that's who they are.
So if these people exist, because it seems that there is a real benefit in not being out front. And it seems like over time, imperialism must have evolved, just like everything else evolves. And so imperialism evolved to the point of recognizing it's better to camouflage as a democracy or hide behind presidents, because people who are out front tend to get killed by the people eventually. So is it possible that in the same way, if there's some sinister secret group of people, do you think there could be the opposite, a group of people who are well-intended, trying to shape society in a positive way, but who recognize that if they come to the forefront, they put themselves in danger, like a secret school or a hidden society of good people?
It's not that organized, unfortunately. I wish that there were big groups of individuals that get together and try to do better for the planet. But I don't think that they exist. I think that they're very small in numbers. They're taking care of the people they care about. They may try to, you know, they may be mayors of cities and they may be well-intentioned, but they're not as wealthy or put together as the Illuminati-type groups that really want to control and manipulate. I wish I could give you a better answer to that, but I just don't think good has that kind of organization at this point.
So this group of people, I'm interested in, because you are somebody who believes in UFOs. You've spent, it seems like, most of your life researching these experiences that people have had. What is the connection? Is there an extraterrestrial connection to these people? Do they have some kind of relationship?
People like David Icke would say that these people, the Illuminati folks, are reptilians, that they have come from and they have evolved from an extraterrestrial race that are reptilian in form and that they're somewhat evil. Well, that's a possibility. There's no doubt in my mind that in the vastness of this universe that we exist in, that there's life out there like ours. We are not that unique. The chemistry of the primordial soup out there in the universe is the same everywhere. So once you get a planet close enough to its sun, to its star, and that you've got liquid water, that formula is going to happen and it's going to evolve. Look what has happened here in 4.5 billion years. So I think this universe is teeming with intelligent life that is out there. They're everywhere. And they have propulsion systems where they have learned how to travel through space and time. They cannot, nor would they be able to get here under our conventional ways, but they've learned how to bend space and time. They're out there, and I don't think it's just a figment of our imagination anymore. I think it's a reality. Now, in terms of, are these elitists in cahoots with them doing sinister things? I can't rule that out. I don't think it's probable, but I can't rule that out. I mean, the alien abduction phenomenon is real, The question is, are governments secretly in cahoots with the ETs saying, do what you have to do, abduct the people you want, experiment on them, just give us a little technology, give us this, give us that? That's possible. I can't rule that out. It's far-fetched, but it is very conceivable that some governments and some elitists are in cahoots with certain races of extraterrestrials.
One very spooky thing I heard, or it was spooky to me. I'm sure you've heard of ayahuasca, I'm sure.
Yes. And I have never drank it, but I've heard about it.
Well, once someone told me that these elites, they drink ayahuasca, that they're actually taking psychedelics to make some connection to the universe or some of these interdimensional beings that appear when people have ingested dimethyltryptamine, which is in ayahuasca. But have you had much experience with psychedelics?
You mean personally?
Yes.
I was kind of a nerd kid in college, Duncan. Tried a little pot, but gave that up when my girlfriend, high school sweetheart, to become wife at that time, threatened to go to my parents. So I gave that up. But I never tried anything else. I never tried hard drugs, never tried methamphetamines or coke or anything like that. And primarily because I'm a health nut, I really believe that ingesting drugs will kill you eventually. And so I just stayed away from it. And thank God I never had to use it.
Well, this is, I'm sure you're following some of the studies that they're doing right now with psilocybin and LSD, particularly with psilocybin. They're finding out that it doesn't really have too many negative effects, if any, especially compared to some other substances. I'm curious, George, would you ever be open to taking a psychedelic if it was administered in the appropriate way by researchers? It seems like this would be right up your alley because so many people who take psilocybin or DMT report contact with extra dimensional beings.
I would not, Duncan. I really am so obsessed with health issues and supplements and doing things that try to keep you healthy. I just have always felt that they will hurt me somehow, even though it might be administered. I don't want to be in that altered state. I'll use the mind I've got right now to get me to where I have to go.
And have you ever, you, when you were a child, it seems like this journey for you started with an out-of-body experience. You had a fever, you came out of your body. Have you replicated that experience throughout your life?
I have become extremely intuitive, somewhat psychic, because of all these things that I've learned and tried over the years. I have not been able to replicate my out-of-body experience that I had when I was an 11-year-old kid, bouncing against the ceiling, looking down at my body, realizing, oh my God, what's going on? Going to the library and stumbling across books on astral projection, which helped steer me in the direction that I've gone now, looking for these answers. But I've not been able to replicate it. But in so trying, it has really tuned up these precognitive abilities that we all have in me to a point where it's very, very powerful.
George, one last question. We have a couple more minutes. What is something in the news or something in the world that we should all be paying attention to that maybe we're not quite aware of? What do you intuit is emerging right now as we look at the political race happening? What do you think? What should we be looking at that's being hidden from us?
I think we should be aware of everything. I think we should be aware of efforts to confiscate our guns. People kill people. The guns are just there. You know, you pull guns away from law-abiding citizens who have the right to bear arms, the criminals are going to be the only ones with the guns. Trust me, that's going to happen. So I think we need to be aware of every aspect of life that would erode our rights and to take advantage of us and just try to fight back whichever way we can in order to not get manipulated and controlled.
Beautiful. George, I just can't thank you enough for spending this time with me. It really is an honor to just get to chat with you at all. And I'm really enjoying your book, Night Talk. It's so fun to read. And I hope that you're safe. I hope they don't come for you eventually.
Well, me too, Duncan. Thank you. And how are you feeling these days? You tackling your issues?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling great. I mean, luckily, if you're talking about the testicular cancer I had, that is the most curable. If you got to pick a form of cancer,
that's the one you want.
Yeah, that's the one you want.
Well, so, take turmeric. All right. I'm a strong believer in that, and it's a spice. Curcumin is in it, but I take it every day.
You take it every day? How many milligrams?
Every day in a capsule form, but it's about 500 milligrams.
Dr. Norrie, I'm adding that to my diet.
Go to this website, myheartbook.com.
Okay.
All right, that's one of our guests. He developed a formula that I swear by.
I'll check it out. And okay. Is there anything, you're headed to Asheville, how can people see you? How can they find you if they want to? I know you give talks quite often. Where are you headed?
All you got to do is go to coasttocoastam.com. At the top, it says hosts. You open that up, and it says George's calendar, and there they are, or George's events. And the Asheville one is August 27th. And full information there is at coasttocoastam.com.
Thank you very much, George. If there's anything I can ever do for you, please let me know. It's been a blast chatting with you.
Thanks, Duncan. Good luck to you, too.
Thanks for listening, everybody. That was George Norrie. You can listen to him on coasttocoastam.com. Big thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode. Go to squarespace.com. Use offer code Duncan to get 10% off your first order. And make sure you go through our Amazon portal, listen to Feral Audio at feralaudio.com, and don't worry, everything's going to be fine no matter what. I'm certain of that. I love you guys, and I'll see you soon. Hare Krishna.